Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast. And today's going to be a super special one, I promise you that. Welcome to all of our new subscribers, and thank you to everybody who pushed play on another episode. Okay, so here's the background to today's episode just before I get started. I wanted to share with you something that was really, really transformational, and it was something that really helped me. It's part of my journey. And I was sitting here and I was thinking, this is really personal, this is really private, and I don't want everybody to know about my private stuff. And so I started to write out what I'm going to share with you as a de-identified story, you know, kind of like a case study. But as I was writing it out, it just wasn't flowing in the direction that I wanted it or needed it to. And it just felt really clunky and off. And then I thought, well, why don't I just share what my experience was? Because I'm sure there might be, I mean, we've got, you know, 1,300 subscribers to this show. And then we have, you know, over 7,000 plays, nearly 8,000 plays of the episode. So I'm sure somebody's going to be in a similar position, and I'm hoping that what I'm about to share with you lands for that person who really, really, really needs to hear it. For everybody else, I think there's absolutely value in what you're going to hear today, because you will see that we're all human. We all have fears. We all have ancestral stories. We all have soul stories. And they affect, you know, not only what's going on in your business, but what's going on at home as well, like in your other worlds outside of business, you know, your family world and your friendship world and, you know, all your hobbies world and all those other worlds. Anyway, so let me just, all I'm going to do is I'm just going to speak off the top of my head here as if you were here. And if you have any questions, of course, just email me. I'm happy to talk about this stuff, really. Okay. So what happened was I decided that I was going to book a call with somebody who, you know, is very connected to source, right? And because I love this stuff, right? Who doesn't? I'm so curious and I want to know how it all works. And anyway, this lady, I don't know if you've heard of Esther Hicks. So Esther Hicks was married to a man called Jerry Hicks. And the background with those two is that Jerry was really, really inspired by something called the Seth stories. And the Seth stories were the transcriptions of a lady who believed that she was connecting with this other entity called, I promise you this isn't going to be woo today. I'm just giving you the background. Just bear with me. With this entity, if you like, this energy called Seth. Anyway, Jerry got really interested in all of this, and then he wanted to learn how to channel and everything, right? And he was talking to Esther about it, and Esther was like, I'm not interested in that. Like, that's BS. I'm not, you know, not a fan. Don't talk to me about it. And anyways, but because they were married, you know, she was very supportive. She went along with him to all of these. I think he was present when this lady was channeling Seth even. And anyway, his interest in this just became almost obsessive. He was just, he really, really, really wanted to be able to have this gift of channeling. And so he started really studying that and talking to Esther about it. And Esther wasn't interested at all. And then what happened, and I'm probably going to get this story wrong, but it was something quite random. Like, she was dictating, he was dictating to her, and she was sitting down at the typewriter and she was just typing out his words as he was speaking. And then I think what happened was she just started typing all this stuff, and she didn't know where this stuff was coming from, but the stuff that she was typing was brilliant. And and then there was another time where they would meditate for like hours and hours and hours. So they would both sit in these recliners in their lounge room, and they would both meditate for hours and hours. And Jerry was trying to, channel as part of his meditation, but Esther wasn't. And Esther started getting downloads from Source or something. And anyway, it's quite sad when you think about it, isn't it? Because Jerry really wanted to have this experience, was trying his best. She didn't, and she ended up channeling this collection of energies called Abraham. The reason I'm telling you that is because this lady that I connected with says that she also channels a collection of entities called something else. I don't know what. So I was curious, right? And so when I became aware of her, I was like, yeah, I'm going to give this a go. This is going to be fun, and this is going to be, great. Anyway, it was like a 4-hour marathon on Voxer. So Voxer is a walkie-talkie app that you can get for your device. And it allows you to communicate with anyone anywhere in the world, and it's free and da-da-da-da. I mean, honestly, you could just do it on Messenger. But anyway, so you use Voxer. And you get to ask questions about everything that's going on in like your life or your business and stuff like that. And she just kind of acts as this channel. And so, I didn't really know what to expect. And I'd written out a bunch of questions. And before you go and have this session, she says to you, don't bombard me with questions. Like, I need time to connect in with energy and da 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 da. And I was like, yep, that's cool. All good. So I had a collection of about maybe 10 questions. I knew that I was going to be able to ask maybe 3 or 4 an hour over this 4-hour period. And anyway, of course I started with money. Well, I don't know why I said of course, but for me, as you know, like, money is very, very important to me. It's not that I want $1 million, but it's what money represents for me. Live alone, I work alone, I'm doing it all by myself here. So I have to have, that steady flow of money coming in. So that's where I began. And I was so thrown when she responded and she said that was a really weird question to ask. It was really odd that I began there. Why did I begin there? And I guess the thing is, like, I began there because I just wanted to cut to the chase, because I don't know about you guys, but when you've been counseling for a while, it's almost like sometimes in your mind, although everybody's on their own journey and they have different experiences, things sometimes, because of our training and because of our practice wisdom and lived experience, sometimes you just kind of know where a client's going to be going with something, right? It's the same with talking to her. So I just thought, I'm just going to cut to the chase. I'm just going to go bang, right? I'm going to start with the end. Because I wanted to get the most out of this time that I had with her. Anyway, so she says it's weird that I'm asking about money. And she wants to know a little bit more about why I'm asking about the money. So I tell her, I really want to make sure that I've got a steady income stream coming through the practice and coming through the businesses and all of that sort of stuff. And anyway, then she says to me, well, tell me what you do. Like, what do you do in life? What's your business about? Because we'd never met, we'd never discussed, I never filled out any application forms. It was just like, I booked this call. And so then I tell her what I do, right? And anyway, then she kind of says to me that, there's nothing really for me to worry about. Like, there's no real fear for me to have in my private practice. And, again, she says to me, look, you believe that everybody's got the answers within. And I'm like, yes, that's right. And she says, well, you also have the answers from within. So I want you to really reflect on, how you can access those answers for yourself. And I was thinking, yeah, all right. And she's like, you help your clients and, you know, people that you work with do this, but you have to remember to do it for yourself too. And I was like, okay, yep, well, I thought that I was, but I can absolutely try a different way. So anyway, what I did was I grabbed out the pen and everything. And then, you know, what came through for me was really like that sense of safety. Like I really, I guess, look, there's been some experiences in business, as many of you are already aware of, so I won't belabor the point. But when I first started talking about spirituality, it, you know, it was really unpleasant in my professional community at the time, like the kickback that came from that. But at the same time, it kind of just affirmed for me that I was on the right path for me, right? So I kept doing it. And then what happened was there are a couple of other incidents that made me feel like questioning my path over the last few years. You know, things like, I guess, Medicare, for example, for those of you who work in the Medicare system. And I was thinking to myself, oh, you know, da 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 da, I can't do this, and I'm going to have to release Medicare. So I ended up releasing Medicare. And that was a hurdle, as many of you know. Like, it's, you need to feel confident that you're going to be able to call in, you know, finances from other sectors, don't you? And so the way that I navigated that was by really anchoring back into trusting in the universe and trusting that the universe was conspiring to support me, and trusting that my success was going to be absolutely inevitable. And it has been. And so then what happened was there were some instances in, you know, different groups and stuff like that in the online community that just weren't very pleasant, because I think some people just don't really understand what, you know, and it's not their fault. It's probably my fault for not explaining it clearly enough. But I think there are some people that think integrating spirituality and spiritual approaches with how you choose to run your practice might not be ethical. And, you know, it's a bit too woo. And so they don't, you know, it's just like red flags for some people, it triggers some people, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's all this like uncomfortable stuff that happens because something within them has been sparked for whatever reason. And then things just kind of get out of control and you can't get them back on track, and it's better just to walk away. So anyway, I had all of this sort of stuff like top of mind. And anyway, I guess what I realized when I allowed myself to find the answers from within was like by connecting into my highest potential, or you know, that version of me that's got the practice and that handles life and everything. What came through was that you know, I know that it is safe for me to operate my business in the way that feels aligned for me. And that by standing for something, that's safe too. And it's safe because I get to be a light for those people who might be hesitant about following their purpose and, you know, handling difficult times that come through for them and things like that. And the other thing that I realized was that, you know, if you're ever feeling unsure of yourself when it comes to your private practice, for example, is, you know, remember that you're not in it alone. And remember that there are always people that you can look to who are already doing it for guidance, okay? And then the other thing that came through for me was that, you know, I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, you know, I just need to create more. What if I create more stuff? Then what will happen is I will be able to help more people. Yes. And then what will be able to happen is I will grow my audience. Yes. And then what will happen is I'll be able to get more clients. Yes. And like, this is the thinking, right? And then I'm thinking to myself, but will there come a time where the clients run out? Like, what happens if somebody signs up for a 12-month program and they have these great transformations and you get the testimony and it's all great and you love each other and it's all amazing, and then nothing, like that person doesn't come, not that person, that maybe that person's spot or that person's place isn't topped up by a new person. Like, you know, maybe, I don't know, there was fear there in the past around, you know, people will come through my programs and things like that, but then there's not going to be anybody there to replace them when I finish working with those ones, if that makes sense. And so what came through for me when I was doing the inner work was, well, trust what you believe in. And of course I believe in everything's unlimited. Therefore, a supply of clients is in abundance. And why am I focusing on what's not, or, you know, the drama or the fear or something like that, instead of shifting my attention and turning my head to the other side and seeing that, oh, well, hang on, if I look at this end of the stick over here, yeah, there's an endless supply of people who need me. There's an endless supply of people who need my message of, you know, it being more than safe for you. You get to choose how you want to run your business. And if you want to read an oracle card at the start of every day, that doesn't make you unethical. That just means that you're connected to your purpose. If you want to do journaling in your lunch break to get some guidance around how to handle a certain situation in your practice, that does not make you unethical. It makes you connected to your purpose, right? Anyway, so all this sort of stuff came up. And then the other thing that came up was the idea, and I haven't played with this too much yet. You know, even I need to pace myself when it comes to learning about spiritual things, but there is this whole concept of, you know, your ancestral line, like what is your through line? Some people believe that, you know, like our soul comes here for lessons. And I like to believe in that because I think it gives the challenges meaning. But anyway, so one of the things that came through for me was, well, do you know what? And it was in the cards by Rebecca Campbell, Work Your Light, and it's just never left me. She's got a card there that reads, you know, you've been training for this for lifetimes. And now I'm starting to think, well, maybe this is true. Like maybe I've got a through line in my energy from ages ago around safety and security. And maybe these things that happen are, you know, my soul saying, hey, Brooklyn, here's a pattern and come on, girl. Let's friggin' break this pattern. Like how many more lessons do you need to break this pattern? And so then I was saying to this lady who does a channeling, you know, hey, maybe this is what's going on, da, 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 da. And she's like, yes, you hit the nail on the head. And we all have these patterns. And even though you've done the work, sometimes by doing the work, you uncover more stuff. You know what I mean? Like when you start processing all that inner fear and doubt and questioning and all those things, it doesn't mean that you've finished. It just means you get to go deeper. And when you dig deeper, like an archaeologist, you dig up more stuff, right? And so you're constantly learning and constantly evolving. And so this stuff got dug up for me, right? And anyway, some of the other stuff that came through was I was kind of saying, well, you know what? I was just thinking like if I created more and more and more for all of my groups, and if I created more and more and more for my audience, like if I just made more freebies, and if I just added this into my courses, and if I just added, you know, if I'm uploading stuff into my groups all the time and giving them more free stuff, and you know, if I just keep doing all of this stuff, then everything's just going to work out fine. And what I realized was it's not about how much stuff you've got. What was going on was, honestly, between you and I think I was just getting ahead of myself. Really, truly getting ahead of myself. I mean, let's be honest here. I released my registration as a psychologist on the 1st of September last year. So I haven't even had 6 months to, you know, fully give roots to this business, right? This business was going, you know, I had the psychology practice side by side with the coaching and the consulting business, right? So I was half in each of them, if you like 2 days in one, 2 days in the other, and then my day to work on them both. But now I've got that time from psychology where I can work on the actual business now. And so I guess because I've got this extra time, if you like, to focus on my heart's desire and on my bliss, which is in serving my private practice clients. What was I going to say? I've just lost my train of thought. That I was like, well, I've got all this time and I could just create. I'm going to create a course and I'm going to create this and I'm going to write that and I'm going to do this blog post and da da da. I was just sitting here being in my masculine energy sometimes, allowing myself to be in my feminine energy sometimes, doing the work sometimes, allowing myself to receive sometimes. And my focus has been on, we're back to that word from Wednesday's episode about serving, which, you know, is a trigger for me. I don't like that word, but helping people. And so what I came to realize for myself was that I think I've just been getting ahead of myself because I was in a space where I thought, right, you're doing so much more work on the consulting and coaching side of things. Therefore, you should be like tripling or quadrupling your results in that business now. And that wasn't happening. I mean, as I said, keep in mind, it's not even been 6 months. And then I was like, okay, let's connect in with myself again and keep playing with this idea. And you know, I love the idea of seasons. And I was thinking to myself, okay, how can my framework or, you know, how can I give context of seasons to what's been going on? And what I realized was, you know, in the first stages of any business, you're going to be, you know, preparing the soil and planting the seeds, right? And that's all like important work, isn't it? And so think about what that might look like for you in private practice. What does your, if those of you who are just starting, this is a time for you to be preparing the soil and putting nutrients in that and making it, really viable to accept the seeds that you're going to plant and you're going to water those seeds. And then what's going to happen is over time, like maybe a couple of months, those seeds are going to turn into little seedlings, and then those seedlings are going to turn into maybe little shrubs or something like that. Let's say you planted Christmas trees. So after a couple of months, maybe you're going to have like these really small beginnings of a Christmas tree. And then what you're going to do is, let's say, you know, this is the beginning phase of your new business, this beginning phase of your private practice, and you've got these little trees up, and then what are you going to do? You're going to look after them, right? And what does that mean? That means maintaining them, doesn't it? It doesn't mean, going and finding ways of propagating new trees. And you've got to look after these little trees that you've got. And you do that by making sure they're getting everything that they need. You're getting the bugs off them. You're keeping the soil good. You're watering. You're weeding from around the base of the tree. You know, you're maintaining. And so what I learned was, what came through for me was that when you're in that seasonal phase of your business and you're maintaining things, that's when you want to start looking not at creating more stuff, but you want to look at saying, well, I'm not going to create any more stuff. How can I trim and prune and weed what I've already got? Okay. And so what that can look like is going back into your pre-existing services and products and saying, okay, what can I prune? What can I let go of? And this is where things like tracking your numbers comes in really, 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 really handily, because you can get a quick look there. Like if you're tracking your numbers for your social, for example, and you've been tracking them for 2 or 3 months, you will know exactly what's working for you and what's not. Like if you're not getting any new followers or, you know, the amount that you need, or you're not getting the engagement or whatever it is you're tracking, but you are on LinkedIn, well, this is a time for you to prune Instagram and maybe to look at, okay, what can I do to fluff up the LinkedIn things that I'm doing? What seems to be working on LinkedIn? What's getting the most traction there? Is it videos? Is it my articles that I'm publishing? You know, all of those sorts of things. And anyway, and so that maintenance phase is going to last for a little while. And here's the really cool thing. When you're weeding and pruning and doing all of those things, the tree continues to grow. Right, this Christmas tree grows from something small and established to something medium sized, right up to something big, doesn't it? And then what happens is, you know, maybe if you're a Christmas tree farm, maybe what you do is you sell off that Christmas tree, somebody buys it. Well, it's nothing to get upset about. It's not that you've lost a Christmas tree, because at the same time, you've got new trees starting to grow. And you've got medium trees and you've still got tall trees. And so you've created a cycle here of introducing things with a really calm pace, plus you're looking at what can I prune, what can I let go of. Hey, maybe Christmas trees isn't for me. Maybe I want to plant, you know, fruit trees or something like that. And you can use fruit trees for the same analogy. You know, you plant your seeds, maybe it's an apple tree, you plant your apple seeds and you look after them, and then, you know, it starts to establish itself, and then it's going to get bigger, and then you're going to pick the fruit off it, and then it's going to continuously produce fruit, right? Actually, apple trees is probably a better example than Christmas trees because once that tree has been loved and nurtured and cared for and watered and pruned and trimmed, and you've removed branches and limbs that are preventing light from getting in or out and all of those sorts of things, and the tree's like fully established, you think about a fruit tree, it's been there like 10 years or 20 years or something like that. It continues to produce fruit with very little time investment from you. And that's where we want to get your practice. And so this is one of the things that came through for me when I was doing the work for myself. And the other thing that I want to share with you is, like, I used to think, okay, there's this period where I'm creating all of this stuff, right? Not seeing any results. So I want to continue to create more stuff. That's my default. I want to get in that masculine energy and do. And then, like, people say, or not people, my inner guidance says, wait, give it time, and then you will start to see the fruits of your labor. And I'm like, okay, cool. Thank you, higher self. I get that. So now I've got this gap where I'm kind of not doing anything. I'm just like, this is the waiting period. And then I feel triggered by that waiting period because I feel like I want to go back to my default of doing. So I'm just like, well, do I energetically, you know, sit on my hands, so to speak? Like, what's happening in that gap, in that waiting period? But that's where the guidance came through, that it's not a gap and you're not waiting. What you're doing is you're maintaining. That's where you're doing all your pruning and trimming, okay? All right. And what else came through? Just let me have a quick look at my notes here. Okay. And what I started to say to you at the beginning was, like, how your energy isn't just restricted to what you're doing in your private practice, right? Your energy doesn't have a beginning or an end. You might wear different masks at home and at work and, you know, at netball or, you know, shopping or wherever you are, you might wear different masks, but your energy is your energy. And if you have an underlying belief that you need safety and you need security. What you're really talking about there is trust. Cultivating trust, trust in the universe, trust in yourself, trust in what you're doing is working, trust that you're supported. And I think, you know, when I was talking to this lady, she said to me, you know, hey, what else is happening in your life outside of business? And I was like, well, actually, there's this guy, and I've just started talking to this guy, and, you know, I haven't been on a date for nearly 4 years now. Well, I think it's 3.5, but I've honestly lost track. And anyway, she was like, oh, why haven't you, you know, been on dates for such a long time, Brooklyn? And I said, oh, well, you know, I've had some unpleasant experiences with men, men taking my money and, you know, me having to start over again and, you know, da, 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 da. And it was like, as I was saying this, I already knew what was coming through. And that was like, here we have energy of me needing to feel safe, me needing to feel secure, me not trusting. And this is showing up in my business. And it was like a light bulb moment. And then the rest just kind of happened very naturally and easily because it's kind of like as soon as you have that awareness, you know what to do. And that knowing what to do for me was, okay, I need to recognize that I'm, you know, I'm defaulting to this old pattern that's definitely asking to be broken. It's showing up in life. It's showing up in business. How do I break it? Am I ready to break it? Yes, I am. So what's the steps? That's my masculine side again. What's the steps? What's the strategy to breaking this pattern that I seem to, my soul seems to keep hitting me over the head with in life and business? And so the way for breaking that pattern is to really look to examples of people who are already doing what you want to do. And to continue to tune into your higher self, of course, but also to recognize that you're on an ongoing journey. Like the journey doesn't end for anybody. It doesn't end. It's kind of like, you know, the good side of the Dunning-Kruger effect where it's like the more you learn, the more you realize you didn't know and the more you realize there is to learn. And that's good because that's your growth. And of course, you need a willingness to be able to release, you know, soul patterns and these energetic beliefs that have been going on for you in this lifetime here on earth and maybe even longer, who knows, but you need to be able to be willing to let go of those. And you know what, we all know this, right? We all know about releasing limiting beliefs and stuff like that, and I think we play with all the safe beliefs, don't we? But when it comes to like stuff that's been sitting on your heart for a long time, just thinking about releasing those beliefs can be a true trigger in itself, right? And so when I think about, oh, okay, well, what would that look like? Well, it's not going to be the opposite. I'm not going to just launch into everything's trustworthy, everyone's trustworthy, everything's going to be fine. I can't do that. And that's not what I teach. What I teach is to do things incrementally and to find a process. So for me, to give you an example, I'm just going to simply say something like, I'm in the process of learning to trust my intuition when it comes to A, B, and C. And the way that I'm going to embody that is by tapping into my feminine energy, because I've also been able to realize just by how my life's unfolded, I have been conditioned to be in my masculine energy. Like I've had to provide for myself since I was little. I've had to provide for others since I was little. I was responsible for myself and for others since I was little. And I mean, 12 years old, that little. And so, and then even moving into helping professions, you know, kind of being responsible for others, even though they're on their own journeys, but you still have a responsibility, don't you, to be a good guide and be a good support for them and all those sorts of things. And so thinking about you know, how could that look differently? And what could trust look like? Like if I were able to trust in A, B, or C, or if I were able to feel safe and secure with A, B, and C, what would that look like? And allowing myself to really tune into those body sensations rather than being in my head and living my head, allowing myself to really tune into my body and say, where am I feeling this in my body? What is sitting here in my body? What does that look like? What does that feel like? What needs to happen in order for me to shift this energy? And from that space, that's where transformation comes. And what you'll see is that, like the example I'm giving you from my life here, you guys will also have, whether you're ready to see them or not, or whether you do see them or not, or wherever you're at, you'll listen to this and maybe some point in the future you'll have an experience where you go, oh my gosh, I've got this pattern in life and it's showing up in work. And yeah, maybe I need to break something. I want you to understand that there's nothing, you're not doing anything wrong by recognizing that there's work to do. In fact, that's your soul growth and that's where you want to be. Because when you're growing, you're evolving. And when you're evolving, you get to show up differently in your private practice and you get to show up differently in your life. Plus, you get to, you don't have to say to your clients, I'm genuine and I'm authentic. You know in your heart that you've been through your journeys, that you can relate, and they're going to pick up that you're genuine and that you're authentic by the energy that you bring to that session with them. And what a gift that is, you know. I think that's very different to some other professions where it's not like that. You know, it's very, I'm here, you're there, I'm the expert, I'll tell you what to do. And then if you do all of the things, you'll be healthy like me. I think that's the value in coaching and counseling. In my mind anyway, I feel like you get to be more real with your clients. And I think that they really respond to that differently. And you can have much more powerful connections and help your clients experience more powerful transformations, especially because you understand that this isn't a case of we're just going to solve one problem in six sessions and then goodbye, you're fine for life. It's working with clients who are like, okay, what are the different layers here? What's really going on? How are these things manifesting in your life? How are these things manifesting in your business? And let's start processing some of this stuff and understanding that it's ongoing, like it never ends. And, you know, I know some people have this idea that, you know, like I'm working with two ladies at the moment, right? They are amazing ladies and they both have these great businesses and they're both working on their websites because that's one of the things I help them with. I don't do the websites for them, but I help them in terms of how to, you know, create the content for them that's really going to speak to their soul and, you know, share their message and da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, these two ladies that I'm thinking about have beautiful websites, absolutely beautiful websites. Like I read the copy that they've put up and oh my gosh, it's just so good for my soul to read that. And I just know that there are clients that are going to read that and they're going to like push the book now button straight away. I know this. But both of these women are still mucking around with their website after 3 months because they want it to be perfect. So they're like, they're doing most of the action, but they're not pushing publish on the website. So nobody's seeing the website and then they're not getting referrals and they're like, I'm doing all the work and I'm not getting the referrals and what's going on? But here's the thing, right? For these two ladies, they've both identified perfectionism as one of their things, like they want it to be perfect. And, you know, there's fear of judgment, I think. If I don't put out something perfect, somebody's going to criticize it and somebody's going to judge it and somebody's going to not like me and somebody will put a bad comment or somebody will send me not a nice email and da 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 da. So it's really about not about being perfect. It's really around how can I put something out in the world and not be judged. And then guess what? When you start to go deeper with these two ladies, they've got this same fear in life. And so everybody will have some kind of much deeper pattern that you're running that's showing up all over the place for the simple fact that your energy doesn't have a beginning and an end. And so while you're doing some of that other work, processing a limiting belief here and a limiting belief over there and working on your money mindset here, you're doing all that very left brain logical type stuff. But once you've done all of that and that's been cleared, guess what? That's when you get to do this other deeper work. And that's what I mean. Like, you'll always be digging and you're always going to uncover new stuff that needs to be brought out into the light so that you can make a decision if this is something you want to dust off and polish and keep and da-da-da, or if it's something that you want to let go of now, okay? And so the message that I want you to take away today is that it's okay to have things that you're working on what feels like a very personal level, because it's highly likely that whatever you're working on at a personal level is going to impact the practice, and vice versa, whatever you're working on energetically with the practice, however you're showing up in there and your fears there and your concerns there, are also going to be mirrored in life outside of the practice. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's more about get out of your own way and let's look at what you need to have happen in order for you to feel okay and safe to, you know, unpack it all. So I just wanted to share that with you because I felt like, you know, other private practice coaches don't talk about some of this, do they? But I know you guys are doing the work yourself. And so I wanted to show you that even as a coach and a consultant, it doesn't stop for me either. Like, I'm constantly doing the work too. And so the lesson that I learned was, about patterns asking to be broken. You have to be ready to see those patterns. The other thing is, you know, although you're doing the work, like, I'm always doing the work on myself every day, I'm journaling and I'm meditating and I'm doing all of this, but it's another example of why you do need to connect with somebody else that can help you see your blind spots. And this is what I talk about all the time, isn't it? Like, this is why you need a supervisor or a mentor or someone like that. You might feel like you're doing all of the work, and you are doing all of the work, but sometimes you need somebody on the outside to help you see what you're not, if that makes sense. And so if you're interested in what supervision with me could look like, then I absolutely invite you to check out my website. The address is resources.brooklynstorm.com. I'll pop the link in the show notes for you. Plus there's some free stuff in that private practice hub that I've created for you. So I hope this landed for you. I'd be very interested to hear your thoughts, and if anything's, you know, if you've had a light bulb moment as a result of this episode or what's come up for you. I know it was a bit longer. Sorry, guys. I just wanted to, I guess, really share that it's okay for you to keep doing the work. There is no end point. You're on a journey, okay? All right, my lovelies, have a beautiful Saturday. I will talk with you on Wednesday. Those of you who are in my membership group, so excited for our challenge on Monday for, you know, working in alignment. I can't wait for that. Those of you who are in the method, remember to let me know how you're going with your planning in soul alignment and creating your soul maps. And those of you who are in the Australian Counselors in Private Practice online group, congratulations. We've hit nearly 100 ways to make money as a counselor in private practice. I'll be putting all of that together for you in a PDF. So that you can use it and draw upon it. And I think what's going to happen is you'll be very inspired at seeing what's real and that there's no excuse for you not to be making any money in your private practice, regardless of where you're starting. So you can make that money, you can invest that money in your supervision or courses or coaching or PD or whatever it is. The money is there. You just have to get out of your own way. All right, guys, have a great Saturday. Talk to you later. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding, your processes, and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.